T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, joining us on the line, he's an awesome beat writer for The Athletic covering the Philadelphia Phillies. His name is Matt Gelb. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. A little cloudy down here, but it's pretty beautiful. Another spring day in Florida.
What's the temperature?
What's the temperature? What's the temperature right now down there?
The scoreboard says 69 degrees right now.
Must be nice. What's it out here, Al? About 32 degrees?
32. Down to 18 tomorrow. Yeah.
thank you, Al. Well, Matt, we have a lot we want to get into with you. First, I know this is a very broad question, but I'm curious where you take it. You live through the Gabe Kapler experience. But, you know, what has been the biggest difference you've seen thus far with Joe Girardi as skipper at training camp?
I would say it's just a more professional look. I mean, you know, I think a lot of times Gabe for those last two springs was, you know, trying to convince a lot of his players and people here that, you know, what they wanted to do was the right thing and that they had good ideas. They had different ideas. They were trying to convince people to buy into those ideas. You know, whereas this spring, it's just a different feel. I mean, it's Joe Girardi has managed for more than 10 years in the majors. He knows, you know, his players trust him immediately. I mean, there's this feel that, you just didn't have with Gabe Kapler, and that's no knock on Gabe Kapler. He's just coming from a different approach. I mean, he had never managed before. He had different ideas. Whereas Joe Girardi comes with that instant credibility, and I feel like this camp has just been more based on the fundamentals, the basics. I mean, there's an understanding of where you stand with the manager because, you know, you have that instant credibility, and that's something that Gabe Kapler was never going to have. I mean, it's just two different people.
Now, Matt, this is the next question is going. It's going to be a constant debate among fans and probably media as well. How much a difference a great manager like Joe Girardi can make in the win column. Some say a great manager can make a difference of upwards of 10 games, where others say, well, they still have a very flawed roster. I can't see much of a difference, even though he'll instill a culture. Where do you fall in this argument?
Yeah, I tend to fall under that the manager doesn't really have much of a difference in the modern game. Now, I think there are areas where the manager does have a difference, and that's specifically in managing a bullpen in-game. You know, a manager wields more influence there than any other area, I think, on a team. And look, in seasons past, this was something that became an issue for the Phillies. I mean, they had a lot of guys who got hurt, and you know, you could wonder if it was because of usage or if it was just because those guys were going to get hurt, period. But I think there's an understanding here that you know, there will be more strict rules in how Joe Girardi is going to use his relievers. I think the relievers are really happy about the idea of knowing where they stand, more set roles, you know, less back-to-back-to-back appearances, which happened, you know, quite a bit under Gabe Kapler. So I do think that Joe Girardi can have some influence there in managing the bullpen. But look, I mean, it comes down in the end to the players. I mean, the players have to execute. You can have the best coaches in the world. And it doesn't matter if you don't have the right talent or if you don't have health on the field. Health is going to be a big thing for this team, just like it is for any team. So I think health and talent always trump good managing. Manager can help. I don't think it's anywhere near 10 wins. I understand where people stand there, but they need their best players to play better than they did last year, and it doesn't matter who's managing the team.
Well, Matt Gelb, nice enough to join us. Let's delve right into those players, Matt. Let's start. I mean, you have a great story right now on The Athletic where, you know, Bryce Harper is the face of the franchise. He signed last year a 13-year contract for uber amount of money. He knows how important he is to the franchise. Now, many players in his position, you know, they would use the offseason to relax. Listen, I've reached the pinnacle of success. Granted, I haven't won a World Series yet. I haven't won a championship. But contractually, I've hit the pinnacle. I'm the face of this franchise. But he didn't kind of kick his feet up during the offseason, did he?
No, and I think what was interesting was you know, most guys are working out during the offseason. Some guys will take a few weeks off. But, you know, some guys will take one thing of their game that they want to focus on in the wintertime. The best players, in my opinion. And Bryce Harper chose defense, which is something that I thought was interesting, because I feel like this was so overlooked last year. I mean, this guy, if you remember this time last year before he had signed, there's a lot of speculation about where he's going to go, how much is he worth, where does he project in the future? And people are like, well, he's going to be a first baseman. He's probably going to be a DH in 5 years. And maybe he still will. But this guy went from being one of the worst defensive right fielders in baseball in 2018 to a Gold Glove finalist in 2019. And it wasn't like one of those fake kind of nominations for the Gold Glove that we see sometimes. I mean, the guy legitimately earned that finalist distinction, and he was really good in right field. And that is part of a game that he chose to focus on. He said for really the first time in his offseason, he started doing more defensive drills, trying to figure out where he can improve even more. And I feel like this is something that went overlooked a little bit. I mean, we saw some of those great throws he made, but he was really sound defensively in right field. And I think, that really affects his projections going forward. I mean, he's 27. He should be sticking in right field for, quite a few more years. And I think it's encouraging that he made that kind of improvement last year and saw even more improvement to make in the offseason.
Matt, two-part question, and I'm sure you'll know where I'm leading with this. Alec Bohm, what is the expectation? I mean, if all goes well, he'll join the big league club at some point this season. From your understanding, what's the expectation with Alec Bohm?
Yeah, the expectation is that he's going to be on this team eventually. I mean, it really is. And I think I know where you're going with this. I mean, it's like, where does he fit? And I think there are a lot of questions about, whether he can play third base, and these are legitimate questions. These are questions that people outside the organization have, people from other teams, and also people inside the organization, to be quite honest with you. Some people have their doubts about whether he can be a full-time third baseman. Now, maybe that's a few years down the road where they have to move him off third base, but there is a consensus here is that this guy's bat is going to play. He can hit. And he's shown it so far in the minors. People have seen him, especially in Arizona Fall League a few months ago. Really, really impressed with the bat. And that's why I think they expect him to be a contributor on this team at some point in 2020. Mm-hmm. And the question is, where does he fit? Who is he going to displace, right?
Right. Right. And that's why, because I'm looking at the current makeup of the infield. And, we see Scott Kingery and we think, well, maybe he'll play third, but we're at the point where shouldn't he be playing his natural position? He's been their super utility man. And then it comes to the whole argument, can Gene Segura play third in the meantime? I mean, we're trying to figure out how this all is going to work out.
Yeah, and I think there is a concerted effort here by the Phillies to keep Scott Kingery at one position. And there are a lot of reasons for it. I think some of them are obvious. Some of them maybe are less obvious. But they really want him to play one position. Now, with that said, the perfect world doesn't always exist. If it comes that Kingery ends up starting at third and then Bohm hits his way to the majors, then Kingery probably has to move to second base or center field. A lot of this is also contingent on how Adam Haseley or Roman Quinn plays in center field. It could be that ends up being the weak link in the lineup, and so they bring up Bohm to sort of fill that hole. Well, that means that somebody has to go play center field, and that somebody is going to be Scott Kingery. So, I wouldn't overlook Gene Segura in all this. I mean, we just kind of assume that he's going to have a spot no matter what. He's come to camp with a great attitude. He's in really good shape. He's open to playing third base, and I think the Phillies would really love it if he played third base. I think they like the idea of Scott Kingery at second base, his natural position, with Gene Segura at third base. But look, Gene Segura didn't have a good year last year.
Right.
And just because he's owed 3 years and $45 million on his contract doesn't mean that he's guaranteed a spot. I mean, let's say in June 1st, Bohm is hitting great at AAA and they need to make a move. I mean, Segura could be that odd man out. I mean, it's an uncomfortable thing to think, but I mean, just because of that contract status, it shouldn't protect him from having that kind of pressure, I think.
That's what I was reading in your column. You said that Segura could be the odd man out. We had Larry Boa on yesterday, and he was pretty, open about that. He thinks Kingery needs to be at second. And Al, you had said you think the manager might listen to him. So I was just curious what your thoughts are about that.
Yeah, I think organizationally, I think they agree on that. Like, they want Scott Kingery to play second base. And like I said, that's the perfect world. And so often we want perfection, yeah, and we don't get it. But I think their perfect world is that on opening day, Scott Kingery is standing at second base and Gene Segura is at third base, and that they hope that both of those guys produce so well that they don't even have to consider Alec Boehm, which, you know, they will want to eventually. But I think they want Scott Kingery at second base. I do. And I think they're going to try everything they can to make that happen this spring. And the only thing I can say is we'll see. I mean, we'll see how Segura plays at third base.
Do you think they had that conversation with Segura? Because the way he came into camp, I'll play anywhere they want, you know, all the stuff he did. Do you think he kind of saw the writing on the wall and said, I have to, you know, do whatever I can to, you know, to stay in the mix for everything?
They talked to him. I don't know if they, I mean, what they said to him was that he needs to be open to playing different positions. And obviously they signed D.D. Gregorius, so he's not going to be the shortstop anymore. And I think the beginning stages of this camp have been to try to show Segura that third base isn't as hard maybe as he thinks it is. I think, you know, because he's never played it before, he did spend a season at second base when he's with the Arizona Diamondbacks, so he knows that position. And third base, though, like, actually it's less work. I mean, you don't have to worry about holding a runner on second base. You don't have to worry about cutoff plays. It's actually because he's played the left side of the infield, he has those arm angles from playing shortstop. He knows sort of the angles that the ground balls come at him from the left side of the infield. I think third base could work. And again, we've only seen him there in drills, so like we have no idea, you know, if he can actually do it. But given his skill set, I think it can work. It's just that he's not the prototypical, you know, third baseman when you look at his bat, right? I mean, he's not, you know, that corner power bat type of guy that you normally see at third base. So you would be sacrificing a little bit there.
Final question I have for you, Matt Gell. We now turn to you for a realistic point of view. The NL East has gotten a whole lot better. It's a long ways between now and October. A whole lot can change, whether it's roster-wise, injury-wise, whatever it may be. But as you see it right now, where did the Phillies rank within the division?
I actually think the NL East didn't get better this offseason. I mean, the Nationals lost their best hitter, Anthony Rendon. The Braves lost one of their best hitters, Josh Donaldson, and both teams didn't do a ton offensively to replace them. So, it's hard. I mean, like, I don't think there's a lot that separates those four teams at the top, and I'm including the Mets, too, who I actually think, might project more favorably than people think. I just, you know, it's such a cop-out for me to say this, but, like, the team that stays the healthiest probably is going to win this division. I mean, that might be the difference. Because I just think that these teams, there's not a lot of separation. I really do. I mean, and if you see it, one of those teams suffer a major injury, especially to their rotation, you know, that could be the difference between winning the division and finishing in fourth place. Honestly, I mean, I think it's that close.
No, I mean, it's great to hear because you get mixed reviews based on, you know, what the Phillies are lacking pitching-wise. But, you know, we'll say that for a later date. His name is Matt Gell, Phillies beat writer for The Athletic. Read him every day. If you want links to all his stories, the latest Phillies news, follow him on Twitter if you don't already, at Matt Gell. Matt, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, stay warm, guys. Thank you.
That's not nice.
That's not nice at all. 888-729-9494, #9494, and your AT&T and Verizon wireless cell phone. On the other side, in addition to taking your calls, and we have these great prizes to give away, we need to pick Al's brain about something in particular. Al's a big real estate guy, Billy. He's a big, you know, he's always looking for the next something to buy into.
But he doesn't move, though, does he?
No, he doesn't move, but he buys property for everybody else around him. He's bought property for his entire family, practically. But he's always looking for the next investment. And there may be something, and it's located right near Joe Wechter.
Yes.
How about that?
Well, that's where everyone wants to move.
Joe would love a little Morgani next door to him.
This is a brilliant idea, and I'm going to have to go to... We're in the world headquarters for Entercom.
Yes.
I think I have a great investment for the company.
You want to go to...
You're going
to
go talk to the guy who gives you the pens?
Yes.
The guy who gives you the pen. He doesn't
but Al
know the president.
To the CEO
the
as.
CEO oh. of Entercom is known as the guy who brings him pens.
Al met him for the first time and said to him, "We need pens." And the next day we had pens. And so therefore that is, you know, this man who's just, you know, an amazing CEO.
You know, Al, I was looking for a pen this morning.
Get things done.
Yeah.
All right, you guys on hold. Don't go anywhere. WIP Sports Times 8:16.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.